My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
Hour number 2 of the Hoffman Show here on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Top Commanders headlines for you at the top of the next hour. That's 6 o'clock sharp, but in a moment we'll play Not My Beat for you. So Not My Beat today is a bit of a special edition, and it's one that Anthony can co-sign because it is with my old professor at Syracuse, Dennis Denninger. Now, Anthony, you had Denninger as well. What class did you have Denninger for?
It was a Super Bowl.
You had Super Bowl in society.
I think it's the same class. It's a 4-week class.
Okay, for us, it was a full semester.
I think ours was like four weeks, 1 credit.
Oh, no, ours was like a full class.
I don't
class.
Think I did.
But I took mine was the first one. So this we talk
first
about in the
ever.
Full interview. I cut this out of this version that everyone's about to hear. But so there's a class at Syracuse University called Super Bowl in Society. And it's how the Super Bowl has become a part of American society and the biggest sporting event in the world and has, you know, affected broadcast media and advertising and all these different things. And Denninger decided to write a book about it, which is why I was talking to him about this. I love any excuse to talk to him. Actually, he was at the Super Bowl last year on Radio Row, and he and my wife and I went around and toured like the Super Bowl experience thing. And that was awesome to walk around with Denninger. Cause he's like, oh, this and this factoid. Like, it was amazing. As you guys hear, so smart, such a great storyteller, all that kind of stuff. But what they've done with the class is Dennis now numbers them with the Roman numerals. So like it's Super Bowl in Society, I think this year, XV15. I was in 1 before there was a Roman numeral. I was the first ever edition of this class.
Wow, that's pretty dope. Then I gotta pull mine up then.
All right, well you figure out.
I'm curious.
You gotta figure out what you had him for and what year it was and what edition of the class. But we have the full version of this interview in our podcast feed. You have to scroll back a couple of days to find it, but it is there, and the full version is on my YouTube channel as well at Craig Hoffman, of how the Super Bowl became what it is, the biggest day in America, a day. That really is like a holiday. And so that is today's Not My Beat.
Today's top story from the perspective of someone who's there.
You are looking live.
This just in.
Not My Beat.
It is my absolute pleasure to be joined now by a man who had a long storied career in television, then decided to become a professor, and then he decided to write a book. The book coming out soon is The Football Game That Changed America. It is about the Super Bowl, which tracks because the class that he started teaching at Syracuse is a class called Super Bowl in Society, of which I took the first ever one. Dennis Denninger, welcome to the show.
Thanks for inviting me, Craig, and it's good to see you again. You don't look a whole lot older than when you did back there. What year did you take that, as a sophomore or junior? Do you recall?
It would have been, I think it was actually my senior year, because I was only at Syracuse for 2, and I'm pretty sure that was my senior year, but it might have been my junior year. I don't know.
Well, you made good choices while you were there then.
I did. I mean, you look at the Super Bowl compared to these other major events. What are some of the through lines of whether it's a tennis major or really, I mean, the World Cup would be the biggest one, or a Champions League final would be the biggest one. And then what are some of the things that you think make the Super Bowl unique and in its own thing here in the U.S., but also its place in the global stage?
World Cup soccer and the tennis majors and international horse racing tend to have far more diverse international audience spread far and wide. I believe that the number of countries that Wimbledon sells their media rights to is something like 145 countries. Well, in 145 countries, you'd be hard-pressed to get enough people to say what gridiron football is. So the Super Bowl is far more of a concentrated fan base in the United States. And it is an overwhelming event in that, okay, if you're watching Wimbledon in England and there isn't a British player, well, maybe you're not watching it as closely as you would. But when you're watching the Super Bowl, it really doesn't matter who the teams are in the Super Bowl. You're going to get a huge audience. And what the NFL is doing is they are working on expanding that global audience. They want the Super Bowl to become a far more of have a greater footprint around the world. I remember being at the Australian Open, and it wraps up in late January. And I remember watching the Super Bowl at the Nine Network headquarters on that Monday morning, because Sunday night was Monday morning over there, and going to a Super Bowl party and folks getting all excited about it. And I think there was an NFL player who had come from Australia, and he was there as their analyst. So that kind of thing they want to replicate around the world, and they're, you know, doing more and more of these international games. They started the first international game ever goes back to 1926. Obviously, it wasn't televised, and it was a game in Toronto. You know, New York played a Toronto Maple Leafs. They didn't have the Argonauts at the time. But what they've done now is, you know, this year they're expanding to Brazil. Every single time they play in a British stadium, whichever one it is, it's an instant sellout. The games last year, the past couple of years in Germany have been huge. And going forward, that's one of the things, I think one of the things that people will find interesting in this book is the last chapter is my projections for what Super Bowl 100, Super Bowl C, will look like in the year 2066. Now, hopefully, lots of your listeners and viewers and folks who subscribe to the podcast will still be around in 2066, and maybe they can prove me right or wrong. But a lot of it has to do with technology, and technology has always been this driving force behind which creative minds follow. So if it becomes possible, then creative minds will say, what can we do with this? Like, you could not have created ESPN if it were not possible for geosynchronous orbit satellites to deliver communications. If somebody hadn't developed that, it would have been, you know, a service that would be delivered via landlines. It just would not have happened. And fiber didn't exist at the time. So, and fiber has delivered now a lot more than what satellites do. And that was, again, a technological advance. So when you look at technology, by the end of this decade, the return of supersonic transport will be with us. There are planes that are being tested at two American companies already that they can carry about 80 to 85 passengers, and they'll go twice the speed of sound. Now you're talking international. You could just as easily include London as one of the teams in your NFC or AFC East, because you can fly there in less than 4 hours. If you can fly to London in less than 4 hours, that's less time than it takes you to get to Seattle. So suddenly the world gets smaller, and the NFL will reap the benefits of that.
That's fascinating, especially as someone who just got off of an international trip and definitely wishes that plane ride from to and fro to Paris was a little bit quicker.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Dennis Dettinger, professor emeritus at Syracuse University and author of the new book, The Football Game That Changed America, with us here on The Hoffman Show. One of the things that I have always been fascinated with when it comes to the NFL and football and the popularity is the fact that the game at the center of it all is so surface level understood by most of the people watching it. Getting to cover the league, like the amount of detail that goes into a game plan that these coaches, that these players think about on a week in, week out, snap in, snap out basis, it's so much deeper than the ways that we talk about the game as a public. And I say we as a member of the media, yes, I perhaps know more about those details than the average person who hasn't spent a decade covering the NFL. But at the same time, like, you know, the way that we do the analysis on television isn't wrong either. Like, yeah, you have to be good on third down or whatever. You don't turn the football over. Like, yeah, nope, that actually is pretty important, even if coaches spend their sleepless nights thinking about receiver splits and should I stack this or bunch that and yada, yada. What is it about football that you think has allowed that to be the centerpiece at the very core of this gigantic universe that has spawned around it that includes, you know, advertising and politics and media and all the things that you write about it in the book? What is it about football at the core that allows it to be that linchpin?
I want to go back in time. I'm going to quote what Lamar Hunt said. And Lamar Hunt, in his late 20s, had a lot of money. His father was H.L. Hunt, who had a huge oil business in Texas. And Lamar Hunt was thinking about, well, we've got to bring a professional team to Texas. Imagine the 1950s. There was no professional sports team in the state of Texas. So Lamar Hunt was thinking, well, should I bring a baseball team or bring a football team? And he watched the 1958 NFL championship game, which went down in history as the greatest game ever played. It went to sudden death overtime. And upwards of 40 million people were watching in that overtime the audience built. And Lamar Hunt came away from that saying, football is made for television. And this has been echoed a number of times. You have great bursts of action. You have individual stars. And you have time in which, in between each of these bursts of action, to reset what's coming next, or tell the story of someone. You've got 30 to 40 seconds in between. When they started covering the NFL, they didn't even have instant replay. That didn't come along till 1963. So there was a lot of talk that was going on, you know, in the games, between plays. But each of these plays is like this special little nugget of something that's unexpected that can happen. And it's also a great sport in that you have a lot of variables. You've got 11 players on each side, and any two of them could get involved, or any five or six if they tap the ball one way or the other. And you've got so many different ways in which the ball can move. You can have it batted back and go sideways, forwards, lateral. A lot of sports, you know, tennis, the ball pretty much goes either front or back, you know what I'm saying? Or bowling, it better go ahead toward the pins. So there are certain sports that have fewer variables than football. There are variables in a number of other team sports. Soccer is one of them. But soccer doesn't come in these interspersed bursts of action with time in between. So I think it's a perfect audience sport, and it's a great way to develop storylines. And there's great interest, and it does have drama, and it does have contact. There is not necessarily a violence, but there is this confrontation. There are collisions that, oh my goodness, you know, that made the ball go this way. Or, you know, this guy bounced up, or, you know, John Elway doing a helicopter turn in the Super Bowl when he's hit at the, you know, at the goal line, gets back up, et cetera, and having scored and they win the game. But there's so many different variables, I think, that capture people's imaginations, even though in football, you never see these guys without their helmets when they're in play. So it takes away a little bit, like you and I, this interview would be a far less interesting if all you could see was our eyes, you know. So that's why you get storytelling. You see them on the sideline, they roll in video, you hear sound bites from them, and so you actually see their faces. So it does have its restrictions, but it certainly has a whole lot more going for it. And it's attracted a great audience. And when I didn't mention the word violence, there's a concern in many quarters about the game of football being a game that leaves people seriously injured or causes them to have a greater rate of mortality. And as the NFL works toward making it a safer game, I think you'll find that becomes a little less of a concern, hopefully. But there's certain things about sports in which men or women collide with force that attract attention. There are not a lot of high school mixed martial art teams, are there? Did you went to high school? Was there an MMA team at your school? No,
there was not.
Is the UFC a giant international success? Yes. So whether or not players continue to play football at the high school level or younger levels probably does not have a lot of impact on whether or not the NFL succeeds, because the collisions, the power and all of it is what is drawing attention. And there will be players, if they even have to train at individual private sites, there'll be players who say, you know, I really would like that $30 million contract, and maybe I will take a risk. There are certain high risk, high rewards professions that still exist in American society. Consider rock star. Think of all the rock stars who have lived into their 70s and 80s. You know, high risk, high reward. So it's one of those things that that is also part of the lure. Is this person going to be the survivor? This person's going to be stronger than the other one. There's so many different things at work in football that I think draw mass audiences.
Dennis Dettinger, professor emeritus at Syracuse University and author of the new book, The Football Game That Changed America, with us here on The Hoffman Show. I had never considered the kind of the formactics of the game before and how perfect it is for television. That's really interesting, as well as all the other stuff you add there. What's your favorite thing that you learned in the process of writing the book that you didn't know when you started writing it, even though you've been teaching a Super Bowl class since I was in school?
Favorite thing. You know what? I'll tell you what. Joe Namath is this central figure in the history of the Super Bowl and of, you know, the last five decades of the NFL. But I did not realize that the NFL was actually thinking about scrapping the whole idea of a Super Bowl after the first two, in which the Green Bay Packers won handily. And it looked to people like, okay, this thing's going to continue as we got a major league team playing a minor league team. So why should we tune in? And the ratings actually were lower for Super Bowl III. The number of television viewers was down. Everybody expected the Colts were an 18-point favorite, that they were going to win. And that was pretty interesting to me. What a pivotal role Joe Namath and the Jets played in the actual continuation of this huge colossus that we know today. Might have just fizzled away and become yet another, like an NFL championship game. And the great thing about the Super Bowl is that it's planned for a neutral site 4 or 5 years in advance. You can promote the hell out of it. Every other American sport, the NBA, World Series, you don't know where it's going to be until a week and a half before it starts. You don't know where the NBA championship is going to be from year to year. So that's one of the great things about the Super Bowl, and the very fact that its survival depended pretty much on the result of one game. And that was pretty interesting.
That is very interesting. And nothing good has happened to the Jets ever since. So, you know, sorry to all my Jets fans and cousins about that.
Maybe in my forecast for 2066, maybe I should have forecast that the New York Jets finally make it back to a Super Bowl. You know, I think what's sad is that there are a few teams, original NFL teams, the Detroit Lions and the Cleveland Browns, that have not made it to a Super Bowl. And that's one of the things that I'm rooting for, is that one of these teams with great tradition that has had the support of a loyal community year after year after year will finally make it to the Super Bowl. And what a wonderful story that would be.
That would be. I am personally pulling for Detroit to pull that off. Love what they're doing. Cleveland, they can wait another decade until some of the bad actors in their current organization are gone. But that's much more about our regular show, Dennis, than an interview like this. Dennis, this was great. Thank you so much. I can't wait to dive into the book. I wasn't super keen on reading books in college, but I promise I'll read this one.
Good stuff. Well, I hope you do, and I hope you enjoy it. And I hope that your listeners will take a look. The book is entitled The Football Game That Changed America, How the NFL Created a National Holiday. And all you'd have to do is go to Amazon and either type in The Football Game or type in Denninger, which is D-E-N-I-N-G-E-R. And you probably have a graphic somewhere that says that. And you'll find the book. So it's available now, and the publication date is early September. So all you football fans out there, check it out, and I hope you'll enjoy it.
Pre-order the book. It's the easiest way to do it. Dennis Dettinger, everybody. Thank you, Professor.
A great pleasure. Thank you. Good to see you, Craig.
You too, always.
Cheers.
All right. That's the chat with my former professor. I didn't think I'd ever have the chance to have a former professor on the show, Anthony. But he wrote a book, and I can't wait to read it. He's sending one my way. When I'm done with it, do you want it?
Sure.
Great.
I would definitely take it. And actually, I have a fun fact.
Yes.
So, just like you, I had Denninger as well.
Yes.
And it actually was the fourth semester. I have my, I guess, memory off a little bit.
Yeah.
But guess who came to Syracuse when I was there and who brought him?
You're going to have to
he's a broadcaster.
Okay. Denninger brought him.
He's a Syracuse grad. Denninger
doesn't narrow it down. Tirico, Ian Eagle, Sean McDonough.
He brought Mike Tirico to our class. That was the first time I got to shake his hand. And he actually told us all about, you know, what goes into, you know, prepping for a game and like what he typically does for like a regular season game. And then what he would do for like a playoff game and things of that nature. So it gave us a good perspective on, you know.
Nice. That is the benefit is you just there's great broadcasters everywhere.
Yeah.
That calling all the games, doing all the big stuff that are alums that are willing to go back. And I'm just waiting for our call, Anthony.
I was about to say
when do we get called in to go speak to the youths at Syracuse and educate them about radio and talk radio? Because we're clearly doing it right, baby. There's no other way to do radio than this show.
No other way.
By the way, speaking of Orange friends, I was talking with Noah Eagle earlier. You're literally eating. Anthony is eating. Is that clementine?
I call them clementine. Some people think all oranges are oranges.
I mean, it's an orange family fruit.
Yeah.
Right now, there's tangerine, a clementine.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, I don't know what you got there. But I was talking to Noah Eagle about coming on the show. And I think we're going to do something this weekend that we'll have for everybody next week. Because we can't have Noah live next week because he leaves for Brazil on Monday. Because he's calling the Eagles-Packers game in Brazil. So we're going to talk to Noah about his summer with Dwayne Wade and LaChina Robinson calling both men's and women's basketball at the Olympics, and then preparing for Big Ten football this year, and then the NFL game on Peacock next Friday. So Noah Eagle next week here on the show. Again, if you want more on Denninger's book and our chat, there's a full 45-minute podcast-length interview in the Hoffman Show podcast feed. It's labeled like bonus exclusive, so it's easy to find if you scroll down a little bit. Also, it's online, youtube.com/@CraigHoffman. And you can go check out the full thing there and check out the book, The Football Game That Changed America, wherever books are sold. When we get back, it's back. Never read the comments time on the Team 980.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.